This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Our next guest is Karina Saxby. Karina is the lead researcher, Centre for Health Economics at the Monash Business School. Good morning, Karina. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you going?
Good. Now, Joe and I are both absolutely gagging to talk about this, about looking at how your postcode can impact your sexual health. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so I suppose our research that we've been working on for a few years now is trying to understand how stigma in the area you live, how that impacts health and healthcare use, specifically among health, sexual and gender diverse communities. And yeah, I'm not sure how much you've heard about how we use this measure, but essentially what we do is we use the results from the 2017 Marriage Law Postal Survey, and we use the percentage of no votes against legalising same-sex marriage as a sort of measure of stigma in that area.
Okay. Joe?
I find this, I find this such an interesting, and I'm very pleased that the data is being reused.
Yeah.
And I think I want to hear more about the stigma, like what you've said in the, I've got the media release in front of me, but why do we think there's a correlation between no voting in suburbs and low action on sexually transmitted infections?
Yeah, so the main theory is really that people who are living in these areas are more frequently exposed to discrimination and based on their sexual or gender identity, and specifically thought that these experiences might also be happening in the healthcare setting. So in the healthcare setting, we already know, first of all, that there's less access to sexual health clinics in high stigma regions, and potentially there's less inclusive care in these regions. So as the theory is really that you're heading into the GPs in these regions, there's not too much choice for the GPs that you can speak to, and so you might be less comfortable to really tell them about your sexual behaviour or let them know what's happening because you're just worried about experiencing discrimination. And we have spoken to people who've experienced this discrimination directly in the healthcare setting. So, of course, that's going to impact your willingness to engage with healthcare and generally the kinds of care you need, particularly if you are in you're a gay or bisexual man, or you're engaging with practices, even if you're men who have sex with men, when they should be undergoing regular STI, HIV checks, just general things to make sure that your sexual health in check. If you're not happy to tell the healthcare provider, yep, this is me, this is my behaviour, then of course you're going to have less access to these really vital services and treatments.
Yeah, and I find this so interesting, the men who have sex with men, because in my other role, I'm the CEO of Switchboard Victoria, and we run 2 7-day-a-week helplines, and we talk to men who have sex with men who identify as heterosexual. And who are in heterosexual marriages. And I think this is a lesser known thing in the broader healthcare provision, is this category of men who have sex with men. And there's a lot of stigma about this group of people, and that the stigma from our own community, who are looking at these people as not being out, as being in the closet, and stigma from the broader community that where they don't even ask the questions about who you have sex with. But I guess the main point about this is that is the health outcomes, right? It's not about passing judgment. It's not about being judgmental about how people identify versus their behaviour. It's actually about how do we get to the health outcomes and how dangerous it can be and how it can actually be a death sentence, right?
Yeah, exactly. And especially when we're talking in the context of HIV prevention. So we've found that gay and bisexual men, as well as men who have sex with men in this high stigma region, even the HIV positive people, they're less likely on combination therapy, less likely to have the HIV related care. But those people in these regions as well, they're also less likely to be aware of their own HIV status. And that is extremely important when it comes to prevention and trying to prevent onwards transmission. It's just incredibly important.
That's right. I mean, I remember sitting on a national panel about suicide prevention. I raised the issue of men who have sex with men, and someone who was at a peak organisation laughed at me and said, "Does that category even exist anymore?" Like this idea that maybe with marriage equality, with changing times, with decriminalisation of homosexuality, there isn't this category anymore. And I think that in itself, that's why I was so interested by your research, because I think there is this idea that people don't want to talk about it and don't think it exists and how dangerous that can be. But do you have any thoughts about what's next, what we can do about it? I mean, that's not the role of a researcher, but you must be thinking about what can be done.
Yes, so many thoughts. So I suppose the big one is, of course, just trying to reduce discrimination against sexual and gender diverse communities overall. That is the number one thing. We know that even in these regions, when you're controlling for access to healthcare and you're controlling for the sexual healthcare clinics and things like that, even when you control for all those things, there's still these disparities across high stigma regions. So really the big thing is we need more work to try and make sure that our healthcare is as inclusive as possible when you're going to the clinic.
We just lost our previous guest. So in terms of what fascinates you about this, Jo, in terms of informing Switchboard's work, does this help a little bit to inform Switchboard's work?
Yeah, absolutely, because it is what we talk about all the time, is about how broad our community is and how open our services are to this broader community. And we always encourage, I am sure, absolutely sure, there is people who listen to Joy. I can know for a fact there'll be people who listen to Joy who are men who have sex with men who are not out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we need to remember that group of people, and these kind of studies show us the actual risk of not recognising their very existence.
I remember having that discussion about men who have sex with men when I was CEO of People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria.
Absolutely.
And also a board member on the Victorian AIDS Council. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago. They are important discussions. One of the great things is, you know, this data and then, you know, interpreting it and, you know, then coming up, you know, with appropriate responses. I'm sure different parts of government will be interested in this. I'm sure Thorn Harbour will be very interested in this.
Absolutely. And Thorn Harbour have a dedicated program.
Yeah.
For men who have sex with men that you can find out through their website.
Yeah.
Of course, there is another category that is not within this research, which is the flip side of women who have sex with women who don't identify, who identify as heterosexual.
Yes.
And are not out about the sexual behaviour that they have. So it goes both ways. There is a higher risk, you know, there is a higher risk for men who have sex with men for a range of reasons. But I think this is a category of people we need to talk about. Those who don't, when it comes to health settings, is that within the pride movement, we are often focusing on people who are out and proud, and that is so important. And being out and proud promotes people to come out and feel safe and change attitudes. But there will be for quite some time this category of people who can't be, don't want to be out and proud, but they have sexual behaviours that we as health professionals and health organisations and counselling organisations like Switchboard, health organisations like Thorn Harbour need to respond to and therefore in responding need to reach out to and have these positive hand of welcome, you know,
absolutely,
that these services are for you as well. Your sexual behaviour makes you part of and need to access our services, and you are welcome. You are welcome in them.
You are. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Joe Ball. We're sorry we lost our previous guest, but as Boris Johnson says, them's the break.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.